Now let's move on up to the midpoint of the tribulation. And here I'm going to have to take you now to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. And remember what Daniel said back there in chapter 9, that in the middle of the week, this wicked man, the Antichrist, will come into the temple and defile it with, like I said, probably a hog or something like that, that would just shake up the Jew. And now Jesus is commenting on that same prophecy in Matthew 24, starting at verse 15. And Jesus says, when you... Now remember, when Jesus is speaking to people, who is he talking to? We showed you this morning, the Jew. And so the you here is the nation of Israel, the Jews. Therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Now you know, sometimes I have a hard time believing these so-called theologians. Because you know what the theologians do with the book of Daniel? They just scoff it as being a book of prophecy. Because, you see, so much of Daniel's prophecies were already fulfilled in ancient history to the exact jot and tittle that these theologians said no human could have done that. So somebody wrote after the fact. Isn't it amazing? But here Jesus puts his own stamp of approval on Daniel, and he calls him a what? A prophet. Jesus did. Well, that settles it. Then Daniel is a legitimate prophecy, and we can rest on it. All right? And so he says, when you see that which was spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, in other words, he comes into the temple there in Jerusalem, verse 16, then, in other words, when the Jews in the area of Jerusalem see and hear on the news that this man has come in and defiled the temple, Jesus said, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. And then he goes on and he gives you a whole cross-section of a society. This is not the 144,000. A lot of people get confused. These are Jews from every age level and from every walk of life. It's a cross-section of a society. Run through them quickly. Let him who is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. That's probably a retired individual, probably rather well-to-do. And he's been up on his top floor penthouse, and all of a sudden he gets word, and boy, he's going to hightail it for the mountains. But, wealthy man that he is, what do you think he's got in his home? Well, some wealthy things that he doesn't like to leave behind, but what does Jesus warn? Boy, don't bother taking anything out of your house. Don't take the time. All right, come on down to the next one. Neither let him who is in the field return back to get his clothes. Now, again, you want to remember at the time of Christ, Israel, like the rest of the world, was agrarian. They, most of them, made their living on the soil. So what age level are the people out there working in the fields? Well, you're younger people. You know, you're 20-somethings, you're 30-somethings, and maybe even a few 40-somethings. They're the ones that are doing the mainstream of the back laboring work. And so he says, come on out of the field, but don't go back to your house and get clothes, because time is going to be of the essence. You've got to get out of Jerusalem. All right, going down. Verse 19, woe unto them that are with child. Now you've got the female of the species, young mothers-to-be, and even mothers who are nursing. See, Jesus covers the whole gamut of society. Wealthier, retired people, the working class, the men. Now he comes down to the ladies and the women, the young mothers and their children. See, they're all involved in this great rush to get out of Jerusalem. Then verse 20, pray, Jesus said, pray that your flight be not in the winter, because the American Air Force isn't going to take them out to the mountains. They're going to walk. Pray that your flight be not in the winter, nor on the Sabbath day. Now remember, Israel is back on the law. Temple has been operating. They're keeping the Sabbath. And much according to the Sabbath rules of Jesus' day, which limited how far they could walk on the Sabbath day. Only a few hundred feet. So he's taking that in consideration, and he said, pray that it won't be on a Sabbath day so that you'll be free to walk the whole distance, which will probably be 100 miles or so. And then verse 21. Boy, I'll tell you what, I don't see how a Jew can go back to Israel if they know the Bible. but I know there are. And he says, for then, when these Jews take their flight out of Jerusalem, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. It's going to be awful. It's going to be beyond human comprehension what the Antichrist is going to turn loose on the Jew. Now, we all know the Holocaust of Hitler's Germany was tremendous. My, some of the things I've read that those poor people went through, I wouldn't even repeat in a mixed audience. Untold suffering. And yet Jesus said, what's coming is worse than what's been in the past. And so you have this great flight of Jews. And I usually like to put it like this. They're going to escape from Jerusalem. And I call them the escaping remnant. Now remember, it's not going to be the whole nation. It's only going to be a remnant, a cross-section of Jewish society. They are not the 144,000 because they've been sealed out here, and they are already going around the whole planet with the message of salvation, not just to the Jew, but also to the Gentile. But this group of Jews is the escaping remnant coming out of Jerusalem, and they're going to be protected down here in the mountains by a sovereign act of God, much like he did Israel in the wilderness experience. Now turn with me, if you will, to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. And we're going to pick up a few more details on this escaping remnant and how they're going to be so much like Israel coming out of Egypt. It's almost a replay. In fact, I've told my classes over the years, a lot of the events in the tribulation are a replay of the plagues back there in Pharaoh's Egypt. And so don't look at these things and say, oh, it can't be, because we know from history it has already happened, only on a smaller scale within the confines of Egypt. And here it's going to be worldwide. But listen, it's happened before. All right, now as you come into Revelation chapter 12, and we'll go back to chapter 11 for one verse, in verse 13. And this, of course, is the same moment in time when those two witnesses that we saw in chapter 11 are going to be killed. And then I didn't take you that far, I guess, a moment ago. But anyway, they're resurrected, they're brought back to life, and God calls them back up to heaven. That's in verse 12 of chapter 11. They ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Another supernatural event. Now verse 13. Here's the time factor. At the same hour, at the midpoint of this tribulation period, there was a great earthquake. Now you want to remember that Israel sits on one of the big fault lines on the planet. Runs all the way from Africa clear up into southern Russia. And so earthquakes in that part of the world are not all that uncommon. So here comes a great earthquake here at the midpoint of the tribulation, and into the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. Now here we pick up that escaping remnant. And the remnant, underline that word if you haven't before, the remnant were affrighted, not only because of the earthquake, I don't think, because also what they've heard was taking place in the temple. The Antichrist has defiled it. And so they're affrighted, and they gave glory to the God of heaven. Now be careful. Do you get